Well, thank you very much, Adam. And I must also introduce my co-chair, David Livermore, who's going to help me in this task. And first of all, say a thank you, in a sense, to the world, the Weber Training Teleclass delegates who are joining us from all parts of the world here. I think it's most appropriate that we've got this session on gram negatives because there's a sense of history repeating itself. Here in Liverpool, 1960s and 70s, the Beatles, and at that time the introduction of gentamicin, a really effective agent working against Enterobacteriaceae. And it was their use of that agent which led to the development of Klebsiella resistant to gentamicin. Much good work done by the late Professor Mark Casewell, and particularly remembering Liverpool, the late Tony Hart, who did a lot of pioneering work. Introduction of third generation cephalosporins, fluoroquinolones, problem solved, but not solved, of course, with the emergence of ESBLs. And then our extensive use and increasing use of carbapenems, leading in turn to carbapenemases. So are we in a descending spiral of resistance in gram-negatives? But who knows? We're going to find out in this session. And I think, again, there's tremendous interest in gram-negatives, quite rightly so, and I think our experts today are really going to push life forwards. I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Professor Rossellini, who has the great fortune to work in Tuscany. Not just at the University of Siena, he tells me, but also he has a sessions in Florence. How we envy him. He's going to talk about epidemiology dominantly, and we have very tight timing, so we're going to take questions after each speaker's session. Professor Rossellini.
good morning, and thank you very much for invitation to join this conference and this session on multi-resistant gram-negatives. And in this first presentation, I will mostly focus on extensively drug-resistant gram-negatives and their epidemiology. And they are of interest because they can cause severe, difficult-to-treat infections with a high impact on morbidity or mortality. And we have virtually no antibiotics to deal with them in some cases. And just to support these statements, I would like to start telling you a true story which happened in my region 2 years ago. And the story is about an adult lady, not even elderly, who underwent hip replacement, so quite common type of surgery. She had no risk factors. The only major risk factor was that she was from a prominent Tuscan family with a lot of connections with politicians, hospital directors, and so you may imagine a lot of pressure consequently. So she got admitted to a rehabilitation and she developed pneumonia, and she was empirically treated with ceftriaxone plus levofloxacin, which was acceptable, at least at that time. But she did not improve, and given the risk factors that I mentioned above, she was immediately transferred to district hospital where samples for culture were taken, and she was just put on empiric meropenem plus linezolid to cover everything. But she did not improve, and the reason for that was clear when the results for microbiology came out. The Klebsiella pneumonia from sputum culture that was resistant to almost all agents, quinolones, beta-lactams, and high-level resistant to carbapenems, only susceptible to colistin, so moderate susceptible to tigecycline. So what to do in this case for this XDR phenotype for definitive treatment? This is the problem. So we decided for colistin intravenous and aerosolized rifampin, based on synergies reported with colistin, tigecycline, although there is no indication for the respiratory tract, at least in Europe, and meropenem, which was culled up to 9 grams per day. And after initial improvement, however, there was a relapse after 3 days, and the patient died after septic shock and from bloodstream. We isolated the Klebsiella pneumonia that was resistant to every antibiotic, so totally drug-resistant strains. So this is just an example, but now in the literature we have a number of reports underscoring the association between bloodstream infections caused by carbapenem-resistant Klebsiella pneumonia and mortality with rates that vary depending on the setting, depending on the parameter, let's say between 40 and 80%, which are very high figures in terms of mortality. And the other reason why X-diagram negatives are challenging to us is because they can spread rapidly and in some cases pandemically in healthcare settings and are likely more difficult to control, at least for instance compared to MRSA. And to support this, I would like to report what has been our experience during the past few years with carbapenem-resistant Klebsiella. These are the data from the ESNet database, the European Resistance Surveillance System at ECDC. No problem at all until 2009, and then 2010, there was a sharp increase in proportion, 15%. 2011, these are the data published a couple of days ago from the ESNet report, 27% of proportion of carbapenem-resistant Klebsiella in our country. And situation which is mirrors that of Greece, where they experienced a similar increase starting from the early 2000s, and now they're up to almost 70% of proportion of carbapenem-resistant Klebsiella. Fortunately, the situation is not like this in other European countries. There are some problems in Cyprus, but overall, other countries are still green. That means low or very low proportion. But if you look at the reports in the literature, we see that carbapenem-resistant enterics have been now reported in most European countries. So although there is no high prevalence in terms of proportion, the problem is there everywhere and probably is smoldering there. Enterobacteria have evolved a number of different mechanisms to resist to carbapenems. One possibility is to reduce outer membrane permeability combined with ESBL or MC-type enzyme production that are weakly active against carbapenems. The other possibility is that of producing a carbapenemase, an enzyme that degrades carbapenems. And a number of these enzymes, including KPC, metallo-beta-lactamases, and a class D enzymes like OXA48, can be able to degrade carbapenemase and are found in enterobacteria. And different mechanisms have different are different in terms of the resistance level, which can be higher with carbapenemase production, and in transferability. Carbapenemases are transferable, and this is of significance to the epidemiological impact. So we wondered which are the resistant mechanisms that are responsible for this phenomenon. And to address this point, we have carried out last year cross-sectional survey in 25 different Italian laboratories covering the entire national territory, and we investigated almost 2,000 of Klebsiella pneumoniae isolates, and we found that, carbapenem-resistant Klebsiella were present in virtually all centers, 23 of 25. We collected more than 200 isolates, and studying them, we saw that uh, 95% were carbapenemase producers. So most of them, major mechanism was carbapenemase production. And of these, 87% were producing KPC type enzymes. So KPC producing Klebsiella pneumoniae is the major problem, at least in our setting. KPC stands for Klebsiella pneumoniae carbapenemase, an enzyme which emerged in the eastern coast of the U.S. in the late 90s with this strains reported at that time, very unusual for resistant, multi-resistant phenotype. And Klebsiella pneumoniae-producing carbapenemase appeared to be able to, of rapid spreading by 2006, 20%, so one of the five Klebsiella in New York were carbapenem resistance due to KPC production, and was able to travel overseas, a large outbreak in Israel at the same time due to connections between the two countries. And what was clear afterwards was that diffusion was mostly due to a hyper-epidemic clone that was able to spread and that was typed at by multi-locus sequence typing as sequence type 258. And this is probably the best paradigm of what are now called the multi-drug resistant high-risk clones or high-RICs, which are multi-drug resistant clones that, despite having accumulated the resistant mechanism, retain virulence and a remarkable propensity for cross-transmission and spreading. So they are called hyper-diffusive or hyper-epidemic. And in fact, in a matter of a few years, there was a pandemic diffusion of KPC-producing Klebsiella that was mostly clonal, although not exclusively clonal in nature. And something like pandemic flu as diffusion. And this is what we have observed in our setting. So it's first cases in late 2008, a couple of cases. One was a patient coming back from Greece. And after 2 years, this was the situation with several, even major outbreaks widespread over the national territory, and all of them due to members, isolates of clonal complex 258, either sequence type 258 or sequence type 512. And now, current situation updated to this month is that we have observed a further extension with even an increasing number of outbreaks and still strains of clonal complex 258 are the dominant one, but some different sequence types are emerging. So evolution to polyclonality, as it's also been observed in Greece. And looking at your data from the your website, David, it's, what I have seen that in 2010, also apparently in UK, KPC is becoming the most common type of carbapenemases in enterobacteria. And the final point that I would like to underscore is the emergence of colistin resistance. So colistin is a backbone drug to treat these infections, an old drug, and now it's becoming more and more popular. And colistin-resistant isolates have been reported in the US, but also in Greece with alarming proportions. So, for instance, in this hospital, from 3% to 20% in a couple of years, so rising. And this is our experience in Italy. We have experienced a multifocal emergence of colistin-resistant Klebsiella pneumoniae. And the problem is that isolates are also independent of colistin exposure, so they can cross, they can diffuse. Phenotype is stable. We have tried to cultivate strains in absence of colistin for several generations and resistance stands. And we found that in variable proportion in a cross-sectional survey from 6 to almost 50%. And in fact, in our hospital, the prevalence of colistin-resistant isolates is 2 of 3 isolates are colistin-resistant. And these colistin-resistant isolates are virulent. This, for instance, is an isolate from blood of a young patient, neutropenic patient that was being prepared for stem cell transplantation, who was colonized and who died during induction, died of sepsis caused by colistin-resistant KPC-producing Klebsiella. And this is another example. This is a totally drug-resistant Klebsiella isolated from the sputum of a young cystic fibrosis patient that was a candidate for lung transplantation. Patient was colonized, was infected in the lung, and transplantation was put on hold because experience, which is quite limited, is bad in this case. So our transplant expert do not recommend, and the patient died, unfortunately, after a couple of weeks of pneumonia and sepsis. So colonization is one of the problems and one of the challenges for infection control of KPC-producing Klebsiella, colonization that can be in gut pharynx and urinary tract, and especially that in gut can be a high-level colonization. We have, this is a McConkey plate streaked with a rectal swab from a patient, and you see this almost a pure culture of KPC-producing Klebsiella. So we may have high-level intestinal carriage, So this patient just discharged in the environment billions of Klebsiella pneumoniae every day through their feces. And this colonization can be persistent. These are a few patients, infected patients or carriers, that we have studied for several weeks for carriage. And we have seen in several cases that patients may be heavily colonized for weeks. That means that colonization is persistent and adds to the diffusion ability of these strains that should be considered for infection control. Now, carbapenem-resistant enterics, Klebsiella, pneumonia producing KPC, other enterics producing MBL, Klebsiella producing OSA40A, are maybe in the top of the list, but they are not the only challenging extended XDR-gram negatives. We have also Pseudomonas aeruginosa producing metallobeta-lactamase, which is also maybe an important pathogen. These strains tend to be multi-resistant or often extensively drug-resistant, remaining only susceptible to colistin, the so-called colistin-only susceptible phenotype. And these enzymes that emerged in the late 90s are now widespread in Europe. They cause sporadic cases or outbreaks, not major diffusion, but they are present. And most popular enzyme are the Vim-type enzymes, but there are other enzymes as well present, IMP, GIM, SPM as an importation enzyme from Brazil, and more recently. And most recently, we have described the new metalloenzyme from Florence, which is named FIM, in Pseudomonas aeruginosa isolates from there. And these enzymes have proven able to associate with successful clone, like, for instance, clonal complex 235, to generate multi-drug resistant high risk of Pseudomonas aeruginosa that can cause outbreaks and can diffuse. And finally, just a word on carbapenem-resistant Acinetobacter, which is normally resistant to not only to carbapenems, but also to other Acinetobacter drugs. We have sometimes some activity, we have residual activity of colistin normally, and we have some activity of tigecycline, although there is no indication for Acinetobacter, and in some cases we have some residual activity of ampicillin sulbactam, and the activity is due to sulbactam, and we quite often use these drugs. And epidemiology of Acinetobacter is less known, at least in our setting was less known, so we decided to run a first countrywide surveillance last year to see how much is the problem, because there were several reports as outbreaks in different hospitals, but we didn't know the extent of the problem. And we investigated the same 25 centers, and the CREB was detected in all of them with different proportions varying from 10% up to 100%, and with an average of more than 40%. So almost one out of two Acinetobacter isolated in Italy are carbapenem resistant and exhibit that resistant phenotype. So in conclusion, I feel that while XDR gram negatives are now a major challenge in healthcare settings, at least in some areas, at least in some countries. And in my opinion, the carbapenem-resistant enterics are the major emerging issue globally due to their ability to spread. But we should not neglect XDR, Acinetobacter, and Pseudomonas aeruginosa that may also be important in some settings. And in view of this, we have virtually no new options. We might have maybe a couple of new drugs active against these pathogens in a couple of years, but still this is something uncertain. And so in this scenario, surveillance and aggressive infection control in combination with antibiotic stewardship, in my opinion, remain the only reliable options to combat these XDR gram-negatives. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much for what might be seen as a slightly gloomy picture. This paper is now open for questions. There are four microphones in the two aisles. If you could state your name and affiliation, very important for our telecast delegates. So please come forward and present some questions. We've got a few time for questions. In the meantime, could I ask, I mean, you've talked a lot about Klebsiella, quite rightly so, because it's very much a nosocomial pathogen with carriage and spread in a hospital setting. Have you in your surveys seen much in the way of spread of KPC into E. coli?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So we have detected KPC in E. coli in a few cases. And in some cases, we have detected it as a co-colonizer in the intestine while we were doing screening. So we normally we have started to screen all patients for colonization because this is the only way to try and control the epidemics. And so we do a rectal swab for screening. And if you streak them in chromogenic media, it's quite easy to detect both Klebsiella and E. coli, and in some cases we have detected. But thus far, we have not found major outbreaks of caused by KPC-producing E. coli.
Thank you very much. Barrett Patel, Health Protection Agency, England. Thank you very much for an excellent overview of the resistance in gram-negatives. My question relates to infection control and surveillance. One of the key strategies that we saw in Israel was a very regimented approach to controlling their KPC outbreaks that they encountered earlier on, as you described. What should be the strategy in Europe to control this? There are arguments about screening, and we've heard the economic arguments for MRSA screening and not. Clearly, people are poised for gram-negative screening and rectal screening. What should be the approaches of high-risk countries then be with the global travelling that we have? And in Italy, what has been your approach to infection control?
Well, thank you. This is these are quite complex questions, and I did not address infection control because I saw that there is a presentation on infection control at the end of this presentation. But trying to rapidly answer to your question or making some comments. So, of course, we are aware of the experience in Israel that was an aggressive experience, and the strategy was a countrywide strategy, and there was a task force. Patients are cohorted, are screened, staff is cohorted, and the task force just monitors that these things are correctly done in every hospital. Of course, Israel is a country of 7 million people, so more or less like one of our regions, and we have been discussing what to do. Of course, we should implement a nationwide strategy, but thus far, for instance, Italian healthcare system is based on our regions. And so what happened is that different regions have done different policies to address this problem. Some have done none. The other region quite a lot is Emilia-Romagna region, and they were successful by implementation of a strategy similar to that implemented in Israel to control the epidemics that have been observing. So it's a matter of aggressive control and of screening, and I think that that is the only solution, and the Israeli experience teaches us a lot. But the question is, can we implement that on larger countries like, for instance, UK, Italy, Greece, and so on, also in view of the economic costs? I will leave the answer to the last speaker, however.
Thank you very much, Professor Rossellini, and I must hand over to David Livermore for the next speaker. Thank you. Okay.